Right, today we're going to talk about VS Code and PyTest and also unit test, of course, but all testing. Basically, the VS Code interface for testing has changed recently, and that's kind of what we want to talk about. Welcome to Test and Code. If you've found value in this podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go over to pythontest.com and look either in the top menu bar or in the bottom footer? And there's a few links we're going to talk about. Contact is how you can get a hold of me. Newsletter is how I can get a hold of you. And support is how you can find links to things like my book, the PyTest book, PyTest courses, the community where you can ask questions. And that's about it, really. I'd really appreciate if, especially if you could sign up for the newsletter. I'm trying to collect emails of people that might be interested in similar topics. Today we've got Courtney Webster and Eleanor Boyd. Let's start with Courtney. Courtney, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Brian, thanks for having us. I'm really excited to be here and share all the work that we've been working on in the Python extension. I'm the product manager, one of the product managers on the Python extension in VS Code. I joined the team a little over a year ago, maybe a year and a half now, straight out of college, and have been working on kind of the getting started experience in the extension and as it pertains to the different features. And so worked with Eleanor to get kind of the rewrite rolled out to all of our users. And day to day, I work on things like customer development, research, data analysis, help with controlled rollouts like this one, writing docs and other publications, and then working with the engineering team to kind of do our planning and our roadmaps for the extension overall.
Awesome. And Eleanor, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a software engineer on the Python for VS Code team. When I joined about a year and a half ago, I took over testing. So all things testing is my wheelhouse now. So I began with this testing rewrite, which I took on from some other amazing developers, which we'll mention a little bit about when we talk about this journey. But yeah, if you've ever had a testing question, you might have seen me on GitHub. I do all things testing for Python and VS Code.
All things testing. It would have been a good name for this podcast, but you know.
Next time you'll have us on again, and then we can do it all over again.
Well, I already changed the name 3 times. I think I've hit my limit. Okay. So VS Code, it had testing in it, or at least the Python extension. When I started using the Python extension for VS Code, it had some testing in it, but the testing that's there now is completely different. I don't know how you want to tackle this discussion, but yeah. Basically, how do we get from there to here?
Definitely. I think we wanted to start with first some kind of background for what our testing support is like in VS Code. So Courtney was going to talk a little bit about what features we even have compatible for pre and post rewrite, and how those are different.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you think about the testing support, I guess some background too, is when you think about VS Code, the Python extension, and then the testing frameworks, they all kind of have distinct roles in the story of testing that we're telling. And so the extension has always had PyTest and unit test support, to provide testing to our users. And the extension really acts as like the middle layer between VS Code and then the frameworks. And so it does the translating, the in-between part. And VS Code handles all of the UI. And then the frameworks are doing the heavy lifting, generating the data. And so the Python extension is just presenting the data in a way that's easy to read for the users. And so within the extension, you've always been able to run test discovery, run, debug your tests. You can view output in the testing panel. There's a testing output channel that you can digest your tests with and things like that. And so with the rewrite, we didn't really, a lot of it was more like back-end changes. Like we didn't want to do too much heavy lifting on what the users experience in terms of the UI. And so most of the rewrite was in the back-end about like how it's being done, how the data is being parsed and things like that, that Eleanor can provide some more color to.
Yeah, definitely. So when we talk about maybe the user experience for those of you listening that are users of the testing, you might not have noticed a lot of changes because it, you know, our first goal was to get to feature parity with before the rewrite, post rewrite, because again, like Courtney said, it was all back end. And so you're probably thinking, why did we make these changes if, you know, it's going to look exactly the same to the user? And it's all about how well it works for users and also the possibilities moving forward for changes and updates. So previously, on testing, we like to say it was very brittle. How testing worked before the rewrite was we parsed all the output from PyTest, from unit test, and that is how we then generated what you see in VS Code. So for example, you see that little green check mark next to a test when it passes in VS Code. That was being, you know, we were generating that by reading the output, you know, right from standard out, standard error, and then finding that test and returning that it had passed. And that's how you got that UI element. And parsing output can be very challenging, can be super finicky, and was not the best as we wanted to look to extend to a lot of other things and increase functionality. So that was, you know, not what we wanted to do. So the team got together. I'll talk more specifically about PyTest because that's obviously more of a focus on this podcast and for you, Brian. But we wanted to make something that was going to look better. So before I came, my wonderful team, including my manager, Brett Cannon, who Brian, you know, and connected us, he reached out to the PyTest team about what's the best way to create this support and integration, and figured out that the plugin was going to be the best way. So PyTest has an amazing plugin system that allows you to use PyTest hooks to connect into the PyTest, the entire run flow from, you know, call to finish execution. And this was going to be the best solution for our rewrite. So first we started on the Python side working, or on the TypeScript side, working on things that needed to happen on the extension to make this possible. So before me, it was Kim Adeline Miguel who was working on it, and she did the start. And then our wonderful coworker, Anthony Kim, when he was at his internship, he's now returned full time, which is great. He worked on unit test support. And then I came in and did PyTest and wrapped it up. So it's definitely been a team effort, including a lot of people along the way. But diving into a little bit of the technical details, because I'm sure you want to know what's different and how we do the rewrite and what this plugin is.
From my perspective, it seems completely different. So,
good.
my workflow often is create a virtual environment before I even open VS Code. I'm creating a virtual environment, installing everything I need, and then opening and then just hitting like code dot and it pops up my opens this workflow. That's my workflow, and then I go to the little, like, there's the icon for, it looks like a test tube or a beaker or something like that.
Open
that. But then usually I have to make sure that I set the test runner to PyTest. And then it asks, but it just asks you, it says you need to configure this.
Yeah.
You hit the button and it says, like, you know, do you want to use unit test or PyTest? It's like PyTest, of course. And then, and then it asks you, like, from what directory, and that's really it. That's the obvious configuration you have to do. The later on where I have to add command line flags, that's another something to learn. But okay, so there, now I'm looking at my code, and if I just hit like run all the tests or anything, it just works now, and it pops up the results right away. So that's the thing that, The things that I noticed that I love, that I'm so excited about for this is I can have broken code that's not being run by the tests, like other code. It used to be that like the test wouldn't even load if there was any broken code in my directory.
Right.
Yeah.
Now the broken stuff that's in my sandbox directory or something like that doesn't break the rest of my tests, which is awesome. So thank you. And the other thing was the test results were like, I got the green check mark, but I'm like, well, where's the output? I want to see the output. And now it automatically pops up. So I like the experience now, and it does, if it really is the same as before, I don't see it as the same. It feels brand new to me. So I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's like the rewrite was getting it to the same. And now you're talking about those feature ads that we were able to do. So, implementing and moving to a plugin now allowed us to have error tolerant discovery, because now we could, instead of waiting for the whole thing to finish and now we're parsing output that has errors in it, instead we're sending back positive these payloads from PyTest that are saying, okay, here's the tests that we were able to discover. And PyTest is error tolerant as well. It is able to keep going if it finds, a file that has the incorrect import in it. And so we're just, harnessing that functionality.
So does VS Code use the PyTest test discovery then? Use the output.
Yeah.
That? Okay.
Yeah. So what happens is you talked a little bit about those testing args. So users can put in their testing args and we'll just take that. And we actually just spin up a sub process and run PyTest. And so we'll just run PyTest with all the args that you submitted. And then we also just add in our plugin. And so what our plugin does is it just connects in via the hooks that we discussed, PyTest hooks. And then it just creates these payloads that it then uses sockets, soon to be named pipes, for making a change, to communicate back the data to the Python extension that we can then display. So instead of waiting for the entire, test run to finish, like you have 1,000 tests, instead of waiting for all of those to finish, we can send back payloads whenever we want. And this allows a lot more functionality and allows for that error handling and in such a more useful way, because we're creating our own communication instead of relying on standard out as our only means of transmitting information.
Yeah. Cool. Super fast and zippy.
Yes, definitely. And that was one of those feature ads is, in addition to the error tolerant discovery, you were kind of talking about the speed there, but, you've probably also noticed dynamic run, which is now possible with the new rewrite.
Tell me what is that?
Yeah, definitely. So if you have a ton of tests and you click run, they'll come in as each one finishes, it will display the result to you instead of you having to, wait, you could watch in the output, and a PyTest, puts little green dots when your tests are going well. You'll notice that in your sidebar, the green checks will show up as you go. So if you have 1,000 tests, you'll start seeing the green checks come up as they go instead of waiting till the very end and then have all the UI update at once.
Yeah, get like 57 little dopamine hits.
Yeah, exactly. It's better that way. If you notice something's not working.
So do they run in, does the XDIS with it work with it? Can I run the tests in parallel?
If you can run parallel tests and then have the output. Yeah, you can run parallel tests.
Okay.
And you can attach the debugger and all of those things. So if you want to add some, that is actually something I've been working on recently as we switch over to named pipes, making sure that all works. And that was one of the challenges that we really saw. Once you start sending back info after each test finishes, now it's harder to know when do all of the tests finish. So a lot of dynamic run infrastructure, we had to change our design on how we knew when test run finishes, how we correlated output, how we made sure we got all the output. So that's where kind of the big challenges came in this rewrite was how we then handle, your entire run lifespan.
All right. Okay. I didn't want to derail it. I've got a ton of questions, but I don't want to derail it too much. What do you want to talk about next with this?
Yeah. Courtney, do you want to talk a little bit about, we made these changes and what the rollout looked like and how that whole process went for us?
Yeah, I think that's a good next step. And I'll also say that, kind of to summarize and put a bow on kind of all the updates that we just talked about, one of the big focuses was just kind of like redefining those roles that I talked about at the beginning. So like putting a lot more, or allowing the frameworks to do what they do best, so that way the extension can be more of a little bit more performant and do all the other things that we're enabling with the rewrite. So allowing the frameworks to kind of do what they do best and give us the data and parse the data for us, so that way we can enable a bunch of these new features and add-ons to our users. And so a lot of that was kind of like the focus of the rewrite as well, was like redefining those roles. But when we're thinking about, we made all of these changes and now we need to get it out to our users, this was a complete overhaul of our testing code and testing architecture. And so it was a huge, huge, substantial back end change. And so to do that, it was like, we know that we are going to release these changes, but we don't want to give it out 100% at once, because we don't want to miss something in the code that's going to break testing for all of our users. So we do what we call a controlled rollout to de-risk the changes. So a controlled rollout, in our terms, is where we're able to slowly push changes out to a portion of our user base. And so if you use the Python extension, you can either use the pre-release version or the release version. And so if you're opting to use the pre-release version, you're going to be a quick adopter. You're willing to adopt bug fixes, changes as soon as possible. And we really rely on these users to give us that quick, raw feedback. And they do, which we love in our issues. And so in the controlled rollout, we're able to assign basically a percentage of our users to receive these changes. So in this scenario, it's the testing rewrite changes. And as they adopt the changes, they're able to write bugs. So they're like, this used to work for me and now it's not, or whatever their scenario might be. And so we're able to triage those issues and talk about, okay, is this working how we wanted it to? And evaluate, is this a scenario that we considered in the rewrite that should be working? And is this user on the rewrite? If they are, and it's not working, okay, we'll dig into it a little bit further. But if they're not on the rewrite, let's get them on the rewrite, have them rerun their scenario. And if it works, awesome. Like that's validation that this is doing what it's supposed to be doing. And so it kind of just went through, I don't want to say trial and error, but it's just kind of like that feedback loop there. So going back and forth between our users that are on and off the rewrite and seeing what cases are being addressed and what cases aren't. And so we did a lot of digging that way, and we were able to find some significant bugs that we wouldn't have found otherwise, kind of like working with our users in this way. And so as we go through the issues and feel comfortable, we'll up that percentage of the rollout and then slowly get up to stable. And so as we up the percentage of users that are receiving the rewrite, we're acknowledging that's reaching more edge cases in terms of like scenarios, setups, configurations that we're able to test on the rewrite. And so it's just relying on those issue reports is really helpful to know, one, if it's working the way we want it to, if there's any holes in our testing, because everything that goes into the extension undergoes extensive testing internally as well before it goes out. And so it helps us kind of match our expectations there as well. And so that was a really helpful process for us to go through as a team as well, is just like going through the issues that we were receiving and marking which cases needed a little bit more digging into and which cases were meeting our expectations.
Yeah. Any surprises with the rollout that you didn't like?
Were
there things that really broke or anything?
Oh, yeah. There were definitely. We went at one point, we were ready. We went up to 50% of all users. And then there were so many bugs. And so we took it back down, and it turned up being an issue with the size for people that have really big repo sizes, since we're communicating over sockets. All of the data wasn't getting sent on one socket communication. Okay. And so we had to completely rethink how are we doing that communication piece and figure out how to handle really big repo sizes and get multiple streams of data that were coming in. So a lot of people have different setups and you know, I created a ton of tests. As you know, you can create so many tests, but there are a lot of use cases that didn't expect people to be using. And so it's so useful to get users to give me their exact repo and then see from there. So that was definitely a big one, was handling size.
And it was
I guess there's VS Code, there's the Python plugin for VS Code, and is the testing bit like a separate piece that handles other languages also other than Python? Or
yeah, so what happens is we have VS Code Core, so that's like VS Code has an API for testing, and so that allows you to do all those things like open the testing panel, you know, use the run button, all of those things, and that's managed by my wonderful coworker Connor Pete, and then I take his API and I implement it for Python. So this just allows me, you know, I do everything that kind of takes the output from PyTest to everything you see kind of on the screen. And he just makes it so all of those different screen designs, all those different places are enabled.
Were there improvements in that, in the core testing part also that were needed?
Yeah. I think there were kind of two pieces. When we did the rewrite, it was a lot of just, we knew what we had to do and it was a lot of on our end. But now as we look towards the future, there are some things that we want to enable that do require some changes on core. I think like one small example I can think of is as we switch to using the test result panel, where you can instead click on each test and you kind of see the failure. Before you couldn't search in it. And so, you know, that was a nice feature ask that we could ask Connor, make that searchable so you could better navigate that, because we knew users really wanted to do that. And going forward, test coverage is actually coming, and that has been enabled by all this work Connor's doing. He's created and allowed test coverage to be possible in VS Code. And so now I'm going to look to implement it for Python.
Okay, cool. Neat. So many exciting things.
yes.
So there was a flag. So you're saying rolling it out to a percentage, but there was also this flag that you could turn on. Did that like bypass the flags, the percentage thing then?
Yeah. So basically we have an internal tool that helps us with doing these rollouts. And so it'll essentially bin our users and then randomize who's receiving whatever rollout that we're trying to give. And then there's also the experimental flag. And basically what our tool does is turn on that flag for those users that are in the whatever, say 25% that we're turning it on. But a user can also opt in to those manually. So they can go into their settings.json file and opt into the experiment manually, as well as opt out. So we give the users kind of the choice of like, do you want to experience this now? Do you not want to experience this now? But for this specific change, it was like, you can only opt out for so long because like this is going to be adopted fully. And so,
okay, cool. So if somebody complained, you could just say, hey, just turn this off.
Yeah.
And it fixes them in seconds.
Exactly. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. And we did have users that were experiencing that. And so we were like, you can turn it off for now, but just letting you know, like this is, you're not going to be able to turn it off forever. So let's work together to figure out a way that you can still be successful.
And this, you know, made it easier for bug fixes too. Because we'd find something wouldn't work with the new testing rewrite. We would tell the users that were experiencing this bug, okay, go back to the previous version. We'll get it fixed and we'll let you know when you can turn the rewrite back on. So this made it a lot easier, hopefully easier for our users to deal with the transition as well.
That's interesting. Is there a system in place to like, so if to have like a particular bug or something to say, hey, I've got this set of users that had this issue. once you have it fixed, to notify them to say, hey, this, we think this is fixed. Could you try it again and let us know if it's still broken? Do you do that, or?
That would be great if we could do it for all users. I mean, we are always on our GitHub. So users report, and then we keep going. So
more of a manual thing then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, that'd be
cool. I know. I wish.
I don't know how to do that. Yeah. Anyway, so is this, I know that a bunch of the VS Code, well, actually, I think that the bunch of the VS Code Python stuff, or at least the Python stuff, is open source. Is the Python, this plugin that you're talking about, is this part of the open source package also?
Yeah. It is all, our entire Python extension is open source. So everything we've been discussing is open source, which is amazing. And we take contributions. So if anyone wants to see a change with their how testing works in VS Code, you can come on over to our GitHub repo, VS Code.
Because I'm really curious about how you're doing this, like reporting back after each test run.
Yeah, definitely. Using the one of the PyTest hooks that finishes after each run completes. Then we just created our own payload design that sends back and got some socket communication happening to keep that going.
Okay, so one of the questions I had was, if there's future work planned, you've already mentioned coverage being added. Are there other future things that we can hint at?
Definitely. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Coverage is one. We're super excited about that. Again, really lucky to be working with such a great open source community. Ned Batchelder, who is in charge of coverage.py, has been a great resource for us as well. So we really appreciate the open source community help.
Plus, he's a super nice guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been interacting with him
at all. And I'm from Boston, too. Okay. Both Bostonians.
Cool.
Makes it better. So that has been awesome. And then we're doing Django testing. This has actually been our oldest issue, the requested on our repo, and has over 200 upvotes, is compatibility with Django tests. So the rewrite has now enabled this to be possible. So I haven't started. We have to do a few other things first, which I'll talk about in one sec, to be able to get Django testing working. But now I've been working with the Django open source community, and we have, a little demo of exactly how it's going to work. And now you can, once we get it implemented, you'll be able to run Django tests, which include, setting up databases. There's a lot of other things, other steps that go into Django tests. And now all of those will be compatible with the UI, the run button, all of that jazz.
Well, the built-in Django testing is a unit test backend.
Right.
But a lot of people use the PyTest Django. Are those both considerations that you're looking at?
Yeah, we've started with the unit test backed one. I think we haven't gotten as many requests for the PyTest backed one. But again, this is just based on our repo. So, we would love to hear thoughts from anyone. I don't know how common it is in everyone's scenarios. So,
okay.
We'll definitely consider it if it's common.
Well, maybe it's already working if the PyTest is working, because it's instead of saying like Django test or something, I don't know how you launch it. It's through PyTest, but PyTest it's got a plugin that does, like, you probably already know this, has most of the functionality that the built-in Django testing does in the plugin.
Yeah, I think plugin support for PyTest is really solid right now, and we're trying to get it to a great place that all your awesome plugins work. The issue with the unit test side was normally people run it with Django, or they have to provide additional arguments so that you can find these extra Django configuration files. So just allowing those to be possible and configurable, because that's another thing that happened before our testing rewrite. Kind of mentioned it a little bit at the start. When you're configuring your tests, you get a few questions, and then you can always go back and edit those command line arguments in your settings. But that's kind of like, that string array is pretty much all you get in terms of configuration when you're looking at tests and how you want them to run in VS Code. And so one of our other big upcoming things is more customization in terms of how you configure your tests. So yeah, this is going to be really fun. So what's going to happen is you can now have, you'll be able to have multiple test configurations. So if you want to run one set of tests versus another, and you want different args for each of them, you'll be able to do so. And there'll be a little drop down next to your run arrow, and you can select which configuration you want to run. And this is an awesome feature that was already enabled by Core, but we just weren't using yet. So you'll be able to select, you know, coverage, run, have a different one for debug than what you want to just normally run tests. And then additionally, you'll be able to provide a lot more specifications. So we're adding in a spot that you can provide an environment variables, an M file. So we're looking at kind of solving that issue where, you know, you want to provide some environment variables that your tests then look at to reference, you know, some data. Those will now be possible with these additions and, you know, a unique run configuration for whatever environment variables you want to set.
Well, and will the run configuration stuff, when you add that, will that make it a little faster to add arguments to my test run?
Yeah, definitely. There's a great UI that, you know, you'll just kind of click a down arrow on the run button, and then you can click like configuration and it will pop up. So hopefully it will be easier, that flow will be much nicer. And then, you know, again, as we continue to use all these features that Core has enabled, as we get more requests for people that, you know, they want something even easier, those can then be conversations about what testing looks like moving forward. So we're excited to see kind of after we do these changes, where the community wants us to go.
Okay. So right now, just to remind people, to add arguments right now, I think you have to go into settings, search. Maybe there's a faster way. I'm doing go to settings, search for PyTest, and then add arg.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. I think that's the flow. Not as fun. It'd be much easier if you click this like little gear icon and it pops you right there. So that should be what it looks like once we get the configuration.
There's like a shortcut for getting to settings, though. I always forget it. Isn't there like a, it's like meta comma or something like that.
There's I have a Mac command. Yeah. Command comma, or you can use the command palette. I'm a command palette person. So then I'll just type settings. But
me too. All the shortcuts get lost in my brain.
what's the command palette?
One's command shift P. And it's the pop-up.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's the little drop-down menu. It has like a, what is that, like a greater than symbol. And then you type all the commands. So that's where all the commands in VS Code and for all of the extensions live as well. So if you type like Python, for example, it'll list out all of the different Python extension commands, as well as every other extension that you have installed in your VS Code instance.
Okay, but I can't use that to get to the arguments, though, can I?
No. Then you would just have to go for settings.
You would have to use
the settings JSON or settings UI from there. So
I guess that's my bad for using like so many editors. I sometimes forget how to get to the settings.
Oh no, I think you're on the right one with the command and then the less than sign to get you there faster.
Okay.
So sounds like you're a power user for sure.
I just don't like to use my mouse. But,
we get that a lot. We hear that from so many users.
Really? Yeah. Because also the first thing I install, even before Python, is the Vim extension.
Mm. Yep. So. Yeah, we get that a lot too. And it's great that there are extensions, because I'm a mouse person, probably maybe a newer generation of coder, or just a different type of coder. So I'm a mouse person, so I can use my mouse, but then you can have extensions and people can create new extensions that allows them to configure the editor how they want it to look.
Yeah. And that's, I think that, I think of myself as a VI user, but I haven't actually, I only use VI when I like am SSHing into some whatever. It's always like either VS Code or PyCharm now, usually, but anyway,
yeah.
super cool. What haven't we covered that you want to talk about? Anything?
Good question. I feel like we've done a great job hitting all the major points, Courtney.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we've hit most of them. Did you have any other questions that were interesting to you or anything like that?
Well, okay. So one of the, I'm just excited that there's more stuff coming. I'm excited to see what's coming next. How do people find out? They just hopefully listen to Python Bytes and we'll let them know there or Python Test. Yeah.
So, Courtney.
We also post all of our iteration plans as well as roadmaps publicly. So people can check out our iteration plans in the public VS Code repo. We have a testing section, so testing specific updates. You can track all of our progress there. We link all of the issues as well as just overall extension updates for those that are interested in more than just testing. And then issues in our repo is our number one form of communication with our users. And we love interacting with our users through our issues. So file issues, engage in discussions, things like that to stay up to date.
Okay,
yeah, Courtney writes a release blog too, which she produces all the time. So you should definitely, the blog is great. And if I'm not mistaken, you can subscribe to get it emailed, right, Courtney?
Yeah, you can subscribe to get the release blog in your email, which
so
is
you
great.
Should email. Yeah.
A shameless
and
then plug.
You can follow along.
And hopefully an RSS reader somewhere or feed, but maybe, hopefully.
For the changelog, yeah.
The other thing, I just wanted to wrap it up by saying, anybody listening, if you tried VS Code before and tried to test with it and was frustrated and were frustrated, try it again because it's a lot more less painful experience. I mean, that's probably like a bad way to put it, but it, you know, for some people that might be
it's better.
Appropriate. Yeah, it's better.
Yeah, no, for sure. We really appreciate people coming back and trying it and seeing, you know, if this work we put in is making a difference for people. We've closed, I think, over 150 issues related to things that people wasn't working for people since I started the rewrite. So we're looking at a lot of, you know, all those nitpicky things, those little things that you don't think you shouldn't bother you as much as they do that are just like ruin your workflow. Hopefully we got to all of those.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. It's really great to hear that you tried it again and thought it was such a different experience in a good way too.
Yeah.
So we love hearing that feedback and how delighted and surprised you were as a user trying it out again.
Well, so to be honest, I've tried it on my like public, open source projects. I haven't tried it on some of the big gnarly projects that I have. So that'll be next. And I'll if it breaks, I'll let you know.
Please do. Yeah, let us know.
Yeah,
definitely. So. Brett's awesome. Test for me was the packaging library from Python. He was like, if you can get it running on there, that's pretty good. So definitely let us know if you find a repo that it's not working on.
Okay, cool. I will. Thanks a lot.
Definitely. Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to Testing Code. Let's keep in touch. Head over to pythontest.com/contact to reach out to me or /newsletter so that I can reach you or /support if you'd like to, you know, get a course or something. That's all for now. Now go out and test something.